Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Lots of pre-owned inventory. And a great service department and sales staff. That's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Boy, is there a lot to get into from Monday Night Football last night. Steelers hold off against the Bears, but what's happened in other parts of the game is what's made headlines. And once again, this issue with the emphasis on taunting is killing the league this year. It is not helping the league in any way, shape, or form. And I think last night was the pinnacle of this issue. Cassius Marsh, well, I guess just got brought up from the Bears practice squad, sacks Ben Roethlisberger, which is a huge play because it forces fourth down. It's a 23-20 game at that time. The Steelers are near midfield. And the Bears are going to get the ball back with like 3:45 to go or whatever it was. And then you're watching the game on ESPN and they're going through the play. And then all of a sudden you hear Tony Corrente call taunting on Marsh. And then when you go back and look at the replay, and even the Monday Night Crew was kind of flabbergasted by this. Sure, he's celebrating. He's kind of looking toward the Steelers' bench. Then he starts walking off the other way, and then you see the hip check from Tony Corrente, and then the flag comes out. So let's just kind of break this down in segments. As far as the taunting part with Marsh, he's not even near anybody. He's celebrating first, like he's pumping his leg and his fist or whatever. Then he turns to the Steelers sideline, but he's not near anybody. Those are types of celebrations you see all the time for a big play like that, and it's a big play in that game. The Bears have been down two scores most of the game. You can sense the momentum swinging. That's a big play. You get the sack. So he's going to celebrate. It's the raw emotion. And then comes back across. He makes contact with Corrente. And that's a whole other issue in itself. And then the flag comes out. The closest person to him, to Marsh that is, was Presley Harvin III, the Steelers rookie punter. And he's not talking to him. He's close to him, but he's clearly looking at the sideline still. So, before we get to the hip check part, just this whole emphasis on taunting has got to stop. It really does. Enough with this clean up the game and this and that. If we're going to worry about cleaning up the game, it still has to be focused on the hits and stuff like that. And even that goes to a certain extent. Enough with the taunting. Enough. We went from, this is what's been so hypocritical of the NFL in the last couple of years. Is 1 year we're all about, let's get rid of the, because there was the issue with penalizing excessive celebrations. They were all in on that. Then all of a sudden, let's let them celebrate. The fans love it. Did they not learn from that? No. Again, the biggest problem with the NFL is they just can't leave well enough alone. Stop messing with things. Just let it go. Again, fans love emotion of the game. That was pure emotion. That was a big play last night. Could have changed the game. And instead, you got a stinking taunting penalty that kills everything about that game. And it was a great game last night. It was. And that leads me to this point about basically this taunting thing. It's enough with the subjectivity as well, Steve.
He's on a roll.
Yeah, it's... I mean,
what are you mad about now?
Oh, the taunting penalty last night on Cassius Marsh on the Bears. I mean, like, enough's enough. And then the hip check thing. Listen, I'm not going to speak and try to say what Corrente was trying to do. Maybe it was inadvertent. I don't know. But that looked pretty bad to me. Then the flag comes out. Like, the whole thing looks bad, but I can't say one way or the other. But either way, the taunting has got to stop. The taunting emphasis has got to stop in the league right now. Just stop.
Well,
let's look at it from an Eagles point of view.
Okay.
There's nothing to talk. All right, we're on. So you're safe.
In that case, yes. Unfortunately.
I'm all for sportsmanship. Always have been. Yeah, but I also think that there's emotion in games. Hey, can somebody tell me the difference between what T.J. Watt does when he sacks somebody? Which happens, by the way, a lot. He's dancing around and blah, blah, blah. Ooh, yeah. That's not taunting? No, it's celebration. What's the difference? Haunting. For one thing, let's talk about Tony Corrente and the positioning on the call. The player, they resodded the center of the field. They have to with the high school playoffs coming up. So they resodded the center of the field. Marsh never left the resodded area. He barely was beyond the hash mark. Also, if he said anything, Corrente can't hear him. Okay? Marsh is walking toward us, right? To the camera.
Correct.
On our side. Corrente's in back of him. And the crowd's booing. He can't hear him. They don't even know if he said anything. Now, did he carry on too long? Maybe. But you don't make calls that potentially alter the game unless it is absolutely egregious. And that's the problem I have with it. Now, I know Tony, Neil Kulong, we'll hear from Neil later. Neil feels differently than I do about it. But I mean, if taunting is a problem and a penalty, there'd be nobody at Lincoln Financial Field. Just kidding.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
You're trying to taunt them all day there. They're legislating so much of this stuff right now. And I understand. I do understand that the egregious taunting needs to be out of it. But again, egregious. To me, if it's obvious, you call it. If it's on the line, don't call it, especially at that time of the game. I mean, you know, maybe you call that thing in the first half, but don't call it then. Now when the outcome is on the line, Now you've inserted yourself into the game. He's a veteran official. He knows that. He knows better than that. Now Neil has a different opinion than I do.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
No, I'm just telling you. It's just, you know, Neil has a little different opinion. He thinks he went on too long. Okay. That's fine. And that's his take on it. As opposed to your take, which again is kind of angry. You okay?
It's just frustrating that the NFL continues to be nitpicky. As I've said before, and
right.
I'm going to say it again.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It is nitpicky.
Leave well enough alone.
I mean, the NFL needs fewer calls, not more. It needs fewer calls, not more. Every time you turn around, it's like, okay, is there a flag? Is there a flag? Is there a flag? Come on. I mean, really? And Dan Moore at left tackle lined up so far back trying to protect himself as a pass blocker. That I was wondering if he lined up partially in the backfield. It was actually an illegal formation. They never called it. But Fred Hansard, will be suspended for the first half of the game by Penn State against Michigan Saturday. I did not see the play. I mean, I saw the play. It was going, but it's on the far side of the field from us. Brandon Smith is chasing Talia Tungavaiola. Boom, goes out of bounds. And then I saw him hit the ground. But I couldn't tell how it happened. And I'll be honest with you, just so everybody knows, I didn't see the replay of it because the way these booths are set up, they put the TV up above us where the person who has the best view, and I'm not kidding you, is the engineer. So we kind of arrange the booth always in such a way where Jack is the one that has the best angle of it, and a lot of times that means I'm underneath the TV, which is fine because Jack's the one that needs to see the replay. So it is getting to the point on some of that stuff where something like that happens, and I've got to kind of move back and move, you know. You almost have to move back to where Jack is, and I'm not going to move him out of the way so I can look at it. So I just never, I did not see it. But evidently he got there and Fred, yeah, knocked him down, I guess. I don't know. You'll have to tell me. I don't know. That's what I was told. Because I was asked about it Sunday, and I said, geez, I saw Tungavaiola go down, but I said, I don't really remember. I said, I never saw the replay of it. Just never saw it.
Honestly, I didn't see it until today, really. I mean, okay. When the statement came out, I didn't even know what he was talking about, and then I found what happened, and yeah, it doesn't look good. Basically, he's literally just standing on the sideline. Tungavaiola is way out of the play as he's getting chased by Brandon Smith, as you mentioned, and then he just gives him a two-hand shove.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, he'll be out for the first half of the game against Michigan. So that's the story there. I mean, Fred played, I think, 5 or 6 snaps last week. I mean, we didn't talk much about it because, again, it was on the far side of the field. I saw Tungavaiola go down once he went out of bounds. I couldn't really tell why he went down. And then I think he had to come out of the game. I think that was the one where he had to come out of the game for a play, because what happened was he went down, slow to get up, and the training staff started running across the field, then stopped. But see, once the training staff comes onto the field, the player they're going to check on must leave the game. So that's why Yudinski came in, the transfer from VMI. All right. Yeah, the way they set these booths up, I had to bob and weave and look to find it. You're like, okay. That's why we always set it up in such a way where Jack's the one that has the best angle on it, because he needs it. I really don't. Plus, Fox had a camera set up right in front of our booth with nobody manning it. The thing was just pointed toward whatever. So I went out at the end of the first quarter. I left the booth. I went through the door. I went down to the photo deck. I picked the camera up, and I moved it. Because it was blocking my view. I said, it was blocking my view between the 40 and the 50. So I had to stand up to look over it. And I said to Jack, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, there's no person on that camera. All right. And finally, I moved it. Well, nobody for Fox came and changed it back. They obviously weren't using it.
I wonder if it was one of those cameras where you can control it from the truck. And maybe
It had a headset hanging on it.
Ah, okay. Well, then that's definitely not what I'm thinking of then. Because we use a similar one for our TV broadcast at SECV8. And all it is, it's we use that for our announcers one, and you can control, and it turns 360, and you can control it from the truck.
No, this is not a robot.
Okay.
This was just locked on. It was aimed to the right. So I moved it, and Jack said to me at a commercial break, he says, there's some guy in the truck saying, how come the only shot we have right now from that camera is of lug nuts? It was just in the way. And nobody came out and checked on it. I think in the fourth quarter, somebody came out to look at it. Like, obviously, it was no issue for somebody. But it shouldn't have been there. Right. So I moved it. The heck?
Gotta do what you gotta do.
It was in the way. All right. Come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. It's been a very tough day for Matt, a lot to complain about.
But I'm not the only one in this case now.
The Sue feels the way you do.
He probably does.
Yeah. He probably does.
I haven't asked him yet.
Why, trying to avoid a long conversation?
No, I honestly just didn't think of it.
Oh, man. Just kidding. I just was kidding. You know that. Sort of. It was, I just don't think that officials should be inserting themselves into games. Don't insert yourself into the game.
I'm going to steal your phrase, Steve, every time we've talked about some of these issues. Don't call what you don't see. In this case, what you don't hear.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'd say that all the time. Don't call anything you don't see or you don't hear. Just don't call it. Okay? Okay? It's as simple as that. And it's just don't insert yourself in. Now, Neil's going to have a different opinion than I do about it. Which we'll hear at 4:06 today. Going to have Nate Bauer on the show tomorrow, by the way. Nate asked whether you were producing the show or not.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. It's had something to do with some court order about the suit. I don't know what this stuff means.
See, now I'm getting dragged into this now.
Well, no, there's a lot of confidence that people have in you.
Yeah, it still doesn't look good on my part. I'm associated with this, these restraining orders. It's not my doing.
Okay, all these people I talk to love Lawrence. They love you. All right? Okay? They're big fans of Tom. Laura. Drew, Allie, big fans, all of them, right? Wetzel, Chief, right? Mertzi, gigantic fans of Mertzi, okay?
And rightfully so.
Right? And then I bring up his name, and, like, the conversation shuts down. I mean, it's unbelievable. All right, so tonight the college football playoff snapshot comes out. The snapshot I expect will be Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Oregon 3, Ohio State 4, Cincinnati 5.
I would agree with that. Still will have something to rant about tomorrow, but I would agree that I wouldn't be surprised if that's the order.
Right. So I think that's the way it'll turn out. It's interesting. You get so dialed in and focused on your team, you really don't pay attention to what the national landscape really is. Georgia's the only team that is, boom, blowing people out. Alabama had to fight hard to beat LSU. Ohio State again had to fight hard to beat Nebraska. Oregon had to fight hard to beat Washington. Cincinnati had to hold off 2 fourth downs to beat Tulsa. Michigan had to use field goals to beat Indiana. Indiana just can't score. I mean, that's what's happening right now. So, oh, they really struggle with Maryland. Everybody's struggling with everybody right now except for Georgia. I guess South Carolina didn't really struggle with Florida, I guess. But that's the way it's playing out. Wake Forest, North Carolina won the game. They won the game, 58-55 in regulation. I mean, that's how close everything actually is right now. It's far closer than people realize. You got teams out there with good records. They're like, oh, well, Alabama really struggled. Then you start looking around, well, Ohio State kind of struggled. And, you know, Cincinnati struggled. And, you know, Oregon struggled. And, you know, Wake Forest lost. And North Carolina did struggle to beat Wake Forest. And, you know, you start going through the long list of teams. Right? Michigan State lost to Purdue. This has been a season where even though you do have teams with really good records, everything's a lot closer and bunched together, I think, than people realize. And again, that brings me back to why I think you do need the 12-team playoff. Money is a primary reason, but I think also because you're starting to maybe see more parity.
You, sir, are my hero!
Someone with common sense. But we knew that already.
Yeah.
This has to be a message to the playoff committee. What happened this week? Enough with the eye test. Enough with having to make teams win big and look the part. Because you're taking away from what's happening, from the drama that happens on the field. You can't manufacture that these teams. Just let it play out. If they win the game, they win the game. Which is why, since everybody in the top six, let's just say, in the conversation right now for the CFP, struggled to beat opponents that they should beat down handedly in the committee's eyes, put Cincinnati at number four. Because they should be there because they're undefeated. They have a better record than some of the other teams that struggle to beat opponents that they should beat down. This is a perfect opportunity to put them in and acknowledge them, if you're in this case, and then see what happens down the road.
See, that's not... I don't look at it like that, that they should beat down. I think everything's closer than people realize. That's my point. My point is everything is closer now. Okay? And that's what I'm looking at. That, you know, more teams are struggling than ever before. Cincinnati's problem is going to be the rest of the season. They can't do anything to improve their lot. The only thing they can improve anything for themselves is to have people in front of them lose. They're not playing Purdue. They're not playing Michigan State. They're not playing Michigan. They're not playing Penn State. That's their problem. Their problem is going to be strength of schedule moving forward because, once again, let's be honest about it. Right? If Penn State had Cincinnati's schedule, what would Penn State fans be saying about season tickets? I mean, what would they be saying? If Penn State had Cincinnati's schedule, Penn State fans would be griping left and right. Like, what the heck? Who put this together? Right?
No, understand.
I mean, because there is... Cincinnati had to do what they did. They played at Indiana. They played at Notre Dame. They had to take the Gonzaga basketball approach to load up the early schedule, because Gonzaga goes into the witness protection program starting January 1st. And yeah, you can build up a game with BYU. Yeah, you can build up a game with St. Mary's. But that's about it. And that's one of the problems of, now this will change when they get to the Big 12. And this is one of the reasons, you know, there's a couple reasons they're making the move. They're going to get more money. Now, the Big 12, the existing Big 12 teams are going to lose money, but the teams entering the Big 12 are going to gain financially. But that's the problem that Cincinnati has, Matt. They end up playing Tulsa, and they struggle with Tulsa. Well, to be honest with you, Ohio State for a period of time when they played Tulsa struggled. Okay? And both, you know, Cincinnati played them at home, Ohio State played them at home. Finally, Ohio State was able to pull away and win. Cincinnati had to hold off Tulsa, stopping two fourth downs. Okay? But everybody struggled, but it's who you struggled against. Ohio State struggled at Nebraska. You've got Michigan struggled at home with Indiana. Oregon struggled against Washington. Alabama struggled with LSU. Alabama struggling with LSU is a little bit different than Cincinnati struggling with Tulsa, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I understand where Cincinnati stands, even though I don't necessarily agree. I understand where they stand. But what I'm saying is just for this week, because everybody struggled this week, and Cincinnati still has an undefeated record, and the rest of those teams have one loss, for this week, Cincinnati should get the nod for number four. And then you let everything kind of play out from there. And you can take them out if you want, or whatever the case may be. I'm just saying for this week alone, because everybody struggled, it doesn't justify even more so that Cincinnati shouldn't be in the top four because they have a better record right now.
Yeah, but Penn State, but I would buy that if Cincinnati had blown out Tulsa.
Okay.
See what I mean?
I see what you mean, but...
See, the issue is that they probably, in perception, played the lesser opponent and had to fight to the finish.
Right, because you're comparing them to the rest of them. Yeah, I understand.
Right, so that's where I'm coming from with all this. And that's where I'm looking at saying, hold on a second here.
But again, it leads to your point, and you're absolutely right. This is why you need 12 teams.
Well, you need to absolutely.
Because then you eliminate all this complication of, oh, this opponent was better than the other in terms of who struggled against who. And like, we're not having this conversation.
When your biggest upset in your tournament, and I'm talking about when I mean your tournament, I mean the college football playoff. When your largest upset is Ohio State beating Alabama, what makes the NCAA tournament magical is Mercer beats Duke. And by the way, Mike Krzyzewski starts his farewell tour tonight at Madison Square Garden. They got Kentucky. This will be Mike's last appearance as a coach at MSG. But when Mercer beats Duke or Lehigh beats Duke, or Bucknell pulls an upset, the nation gets all wrapped up in it. Well, what happens now? By going to 12 teams, you now have the possibility that Coastal Carolina comes in or Cincinnati comes in and they pull, quote, the upset.
Exactly.
And it changes the dynamics of the perception of the college football tournament, and suddenly it puts the element of fun into the tournament. As opposed to the way they're doing it now, you feel like it's mechanical. All right, best one. Yeah, sure, yeah, we'll see. Here we go, four more teams, here we go. And that's what they're doing. And I just don't think it's the... It's time they change it. Now, basketball, you can play a game on a Thursday and come back and play on a Saturday. That is a big difference. There's no getting around it. There's a big difference when that happens. Football is such a week-to-week thing. How far do you drag this out? But again, you know, I think when you put the model in for 12, eventually you're going to see somebody 5 years from now push for 16 so that the first four don't get a first-round bye. I mean, it'll be easier to do it then because you already have the weekend designated to begin with. And the biggest issue will be, oh, it could be 17 games. Hey, guess what? If you look at the two teams and you say two teams have to play a 17th game, and you go to them and say, hey, do you want to play the 17th game, or are you too tired and beat up to do it? Now, exactly what do you think the response is going to be from the players? they'll play the 17th game.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's do it.
Exactly. You never hear that brought up. All right. We'll come back. More in a moment. Neil on the Steeler game last night, which was intriguing on many different levels. Intriguing on many levels. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Roethlisberger somehow gets out of there, and now he's taken down. Cassius Marsh just elevated today for tonight's game. That'll go as a third sack for Chicago.
At the conclusion of the play, taunting defense number 59. Oh. 15-yard penalty will create a first down.
Oh, that's Marsh.
Unbelievable. I didn't see it there.
Nope, I didn't see it there.
He starts walking towards the sideline, and he's saying something to the sideline.
Wow.
Wow is right. I don't know, because the punter was running out, whether the official thought, but he wasn't even looking at the punter. He was looking at the sideline. He wasn't looking at the punter. He wasn't talking to the punter.
The one thing that I will say is on my way to the sideline, I got hip-checked by the ref, and it's pretty clear. If I were to do that to a ref or even touch the ref, you know, we'd get kicked out of the game and possibly suspended and fined. So I just think that that was incredibly inappropriate.
He's never been to one of our staff meetings. That's standard practice. Darn suit hip check me.
No, senor!
I hate this show. No? Wrong? Just asking. I don't know about the hip check thing.
It looks bad, I can tell you that, because literally as soon as it happened, the flag comes out.
Well, no, he's reaching for it before. He's reaching for it. But look, obviously I've always been one that's talked about, hey, look, make the play. I can understand the joy. I got it. But, like, get back in the huddle. You got to make another play. That's my big. That's my biggest complaint about. There's 70 defensive snaps in a game, and T.J. Watt makes eight plays, or what? The other 62 plays, did the offensive lineman jump up and down and spin around because he blocked you? Right. Hey. That's the part that strikes me all the time. And it's like, come on, guys. Emotion, I think, is really good for sports. It's the over-emotion. And it's always, the over-emotion is always on. But I mean, do you see the offensive lineman going, yeah, I got TJ on that one. Yeah, I spin around and go back to the huddle. But Watt makes a play, he's jumping around.